Good morning. Gather to worship our God. We praise Him and we thank Him. We thank Him for life. We thank Him for all that we have. We thank Him for all the opportunities that we have. We wouldn't be here without Him. I mean, yeah, we wouldn't. And that's a fact. Okay, so we gather together to praise You, Lord, to come into Your presence with worship and praise and thanksgiving and to hear from You. So let's start off by hearing the Word.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Psalms, chapter 139, verses 13 through 16. For You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in Your book before one of them came to be. Our second reading is from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Here ends the readings.
As if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity again to gather in Your name and in Your presence to worship You and to hear from You. May Your word speak to us in a special way, to our very spirits. Amen. The subject of life just was hitting me, so I figured that's what God wanted me to talk about. It's only appropriate that this Sunday we're doing the collection for the Options for Women, a life center. And how cool is that? They're all over the United States. These life centers. I just got a call this last week from a former student, and she was pregnant, single, didn't know where to turn, now living on the East Coast, but she got in touch with the life center out there, and she's going to carry this baby, and who knows what's going to come after that. It's going to be a tough road for her, but we know that God is faithful, and He's going to provide, so just pray for her as well. So life, an incredible gift from God. What is it? What is life at its core, at its basis? I guess you could ask a biologist. I'm convinced, of course, that biology is one of the lesser sciences, that chemistry and physics are the best, but I'm biased, right? And I always tell my students that it's a pseudoscience, a wannabe science. But it's fascinating. I find chemistry and physics fascinating, of course, but I also find life fascinating. What is it? It's this spark of energy, I guess, that each of us has, that we got from our parents. That can only come from life. We can't create it by other means. We can try to define it, and in doing so, we could say something that has movement and gives off heat, things like that, but you know, this candle flame over here, does it move a little bit? Yeah. Does it give off heat? Yeah. We could make a case perhaps that it's alive as well, right? But no, it lacks other things. It's able to use energy. Well, there we go too. That's another requirement of life. It could be passed on. I could hold another candle up to it, and it could pass on that energy to another candle, right? So that's sort of like life, but yet it's not. It's not. The biologists, when they define life, they have a number of qualifications. Among other things, they say it has to be able to grow. It has to be able to grow. Each of us has. We continue to grow a little bit, okay. But we start out as two cells, every single one of us. And every single animal on earth started out as two cells, a sperm and an egg, as soon as they meet. Neither one is alive, really. They're just cells which are part of the organism, I guess. But once they meet, all of a sudden, life is created. The ability to grow and reproduce. Yes, the cells start to double, and they start to grow and grow and grow, and sooner or later, you're going to have yourself a human. So at that moment, I'm convinced that's where life starts, right? At conception, right? When every one of us, every single one of us, your dad, your mom got together, the sperm and the egg met, and then boom, bang, there's this miracle, a miracle that happens. We have life, and it starts to grow and grow. And all the pieces end up in the right place. You know, I don't have a toe sticking out on my forehead or an eyeball sticking on my ear. I think somehow it all ends up in the right place. You know, we're putting in trillions of cells, and the mother is feeding this baby as it's growing inside, and everything just turns out right most of the time. That is a miracle as well. This stuff is fascinating. Okay, it's fascinating, and it's miraculous. So it has to be able to grow, to reproduce, have the capability at least to reproduce, to process energy, to take in energy, and to process it. We take in food, and I had a nice duck burrito the other night, and all those little parts and pieces as it comes apart then are going to go and start to make fingernails and hair and everything else. You know, somehow it all ends up in the right place. How does that work? Wow. Again, miraculous. Ability to respond to external stimuli. If it's too hot or too cold, even a simple organism will move into the shade or into the warmth. It'll respond to external stimuli. So all these things and some other requirements would delineate what or define what life is, I guess. And life can take many forms. From the smallest single-celled organism, just one single cell, it's alive. If you got like an amoeba or paramecium or something like that, a single cell that's alive, that's able to reproduce, that's able to process energy and all these things. So we could say that that single-celled organism is alive, yet some people claim that a baby with millions of cells is not alive, you know, before it's born. I'm going, wait a minute, hold on. Do they not see the miracle, the beauty, the value of the life? What have we come to when people don't see that? We look in the Old Testament where they had child sacrifices. How horrible is that to Molech and other gods? You hold an innocent baby in your arms. I mean, it's an incredible thing to hold that child, to look at it, to feel that warmth and that life, and to, I'll just think of what's in its future. Yet some people would say it's not worth anything. No, 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 not at all. Life is precious and precious to God. Life has incredible value. You only get one shot at life, right? Well, you got life eternal either in one or two places. But here, we only have one shot at life. And it's, like you say, it's precious and it's a gift from God. It has to start from God. We cannot create life artificially in the laboratory. Yes, I can mix together nitrogen, hydrogen, and oxygen, phosphorus, everything I need for amino acids and hit it with electricity and stuff, but I can't make it alive. Only life can only come from life. It's a gift. And a gift from God. Passed on again from other living things. We could trace each of our lives back through our parents and their parents and their parents, and we could get back to Noah and his wife. Every single one of us here descended from Noah and his wife. There are three sons and their wives, right? The genes are passed on. And then we get the chance to pass it on to others, perhaps. Incredible. Incredible. So with this life, God describes it through David in the Psalms here. David is fascinated and in awe of life and its development and its origin from God. For you created my inmost being. Yeah, you created all of us, okay? I mean, all of us here, but also all of us. Our physical, our spiritual, our mental, all that we are created from God in his image. In his image. Again, how precious is that? How sacred is that? In his image, the very image of God. You knit me together in my mother's womb. There's an incredible miracle taking place there inside of a woman where this baby from two cells is starting to multiply and grow, being knit together. That's an interesting way to say it. Think of knitting. Okay. But the cells become tissues which become organs, and they are knit together, and they become the whole person. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. an incredible design. Think of all the different body systems, the respiratory system, the circulatory system, and how they work in conjunction. The oxygen has to come in from the respiratory, get to the circulatory, then go around throughout the body to promote cell growth and to bring nutrients. The blood does, the circulatory, all working together. An incredible design. I would think that any medical professional has to be in awe. Has to be in awe of how it all works. And then we get into the systems, even within the blood, all the different chemicals in there and the right balance and things like that. Again, an incredible design that can only come from God. Because His works are wonderful, it says. His works are wonderful. Yes, amen, His works are wonderful. We look at the world around us, it's wonderful. We look at the different organisms, the animals, the ecosystem, the plants. His works are wonderful, and we should be in awe of that as well. Take it for granted. You just look out across the fields and everything, yeah, it's incredible. Or else you just take one individual plant or something and all that's happening in it. Again, incredible. His works are wonderful. I know that full well. All right. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. Of course, you can't hide from God, right? But He sees what's happening. He sees that growth. And as He sees that growth, I believe that He is smiling. I believe that He is just feeling love and smiling as He sees babies grow. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and He sees the formation of it. And He sees us throughout our lives, too. He walks with us, you know, from before we were born until our very death and after. He is going to walk with us. At times, probably shaking His head. Okay, I guess you got to learn the hard way, Mike. Yeah, okay, God, yeah, I do. All right. But also smiling, and also with love. Think about your kids, right? If they're young ones, and you just... when they make a good choice, you're just going, yes. When they make the poor choice, you go, okay, you're going to learn. But God's probably the same way, because we are still precious to Him. It doesn't matter if you're an unborn baby or if you're 90 years old, are you still precious to Him? Yes. You are His creation. You are special. You have that life. All the days ordained for me are written in your book before one of them came to be. He has plans for each one of us. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that as well. Paul writes, "For we are God's handiwork." All right, His handiwork. When I think of handiwork, I'm thinking that we're all unique. You can have an assembly line again with cars pulling out, coming off it, and they all look the same. But not the same with us, right? We're all unique. We all have a different DNA. We all have different fingerprints. We all have different gifts. We all have a different mind. And we're all unique. Now, some people are more unique than others, okay? But we are all unique. And we're all God's handiwork. And when you do that, it's craftsmanship. He takes care, and He cares for what He creates. He cares for us. And that's humbling. That out of billions of people on the earth right now, He cares for you. He knows you individually. He knows you uniquely. And cares for you. For you are His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Why we were created? To do good works. To love others. To bring it to others. Right? We love because He first loved us. We serve God and we serve others. By doing that, we love God and we love others. So that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Sorry, I left off. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. He has a mission for each of us, a number of missions actually, a number of purposes, things to accomplish that only we can. Prepared in advance for us to do. Lord, lead us into those that we may fulfill those works, but do it to your glory and your honor, Lord, to play the part that you have set for each of us. All right, so this life, it's unique, it's precious, but you could go through life just, I guess, breathing and eating and not really doing anything. But would that life be meaningful? Would it have purpose? Certainly would not have the purpose that God has for each one of us. He desires that we not just have life, but that we have life abundant, right? A full life, a fulfilling life. We heard that in the gospel today. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And absolutely, The enemy seeks to steal. He seeks to kill and he seeks to destroy. He's destructive by nature. He just can't stand to see anybody happy. He just can't stand to see anybody enjoying life. He's going to try to interject his problems there. He's going to try to take. To steal is to take, right? To kill is to take. To destroy is to take. So he's seeking to take, but God is seeking to give. Just the opposite, okay? The enemy takes, Jesus gives. What does Jesus give? Life. And not just life, not just a pulse. More than that. Life abundant is what he desires us to have. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Not just breathing and eating and sleeping. Having purpose. Having meaning. Living for God and for others. That's what life ought to be. It ought to have joy, right? It ought to have meaning, purpose, joy, fulfillment, and relationship with God. That would be a full life. To be able to serve others and love others. And let God love through us. To offer ourselves up in that way. If a life lacks meaning or purpose, that would just plain be depressing, wouldn't it? If you had no meaning and no purpose, and just, okay, go through life. And some people, unfortunately, seem to be living that way. Maybe some moments of smiling, but maybe it's due to, a depressive disorder. Maybe they're just sitting at the bar and that's all they do and don't have any other meaning or purpose. And is that what God wants for us? Of course not. Of course not. There is so much more. If you're in that situation listening out there, there's more. There is so much more. And God wants that for you. If you'll come to him, if you'll seek him, if you'll live in relationship with him, let him live through you. You can experience this fulfilling life, to have a purpose, to get satisfaction out of it and joy out of it. And that would be an abundant life, a fulfilling life. It's sort of like maybe you've had jobs in the past where you go there and you get your paychecks, you can pay the bills. Is that very fulfilling? Pays the bills, but it's not very fulfilling. And maybe you've had other jobs or careers or a calling, if you will, where you go to that and you just go, yeah. And you just smile at the thought of going to work and making a difference. And yeah, that's what we're talking about, okay? And that's that kind of life we're talking about, where you're able to make a difference and you just feel it and you know it and it's fulfilling. You get a lot out of it. And that's what God, again, desires for us, a life not to be wasted. We should never waste life, but to be fulfilled, to live in that relationship with God and know that you're making a difference and to have that joy. So what do we do with this life that we've been given? I guess that's sort of a question too. God desires that we have it abundantly, that we live life to the full, and we each have a choice with this life we've been given. Well, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Maybe not a happy thought there, right? And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. It's not about me anymore. It's about Christ living in me and making a difference in this world. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's not about us. We can live lives for ourselves, absolutely. We seek to build ourselves up and it's all about me, me, me. That's not going to lead to happiness. That's ultimately not going to be fulfilling. It might be temporarily. Someone gets all these possessions and all this wealth and think they've got it made. That's not going to bring happiness. So it's not about us. We have to learn to set the self aside. I no longer live, right? It's not about me. But Christ lives in me. I'm going to give him free reign in my life. I'm going to let him take the wheel, let him take the reins, and just, here I am, Lord, use me. Offer yourselves up. Let him use you in various situations because, again, he has these works that he has planned for each of us. He has that purpose for us. And he can steer it towards us if we're willing to let him steer. Of course, we tend to take the wheel back, right? And I want to go this way. He's trying to direct us another way. And we got to be sensitive to that. We got to yield to that as well. Just, hey, take the wheel. Have free reign. Okay, but with the reins, you can, actually that type of rein, guide and direct me too. Yeah, And hopefully you'll respond and not be too stubborn. Because human nature is to live for self. Think about self-preservation. Every animal have a bit of self-preservation. If it gets cornered, it's fight or flight, right? It seeks to live. It wants to live for itself. So human nature, again, to live for self, that survival instinct, yes, absolutely. But we're going to put our self aside and let Jesus fill us, right? He lives in us, is what we're looking for. This also does involve surrender, which doesn't come easy. I don't like the thought of surrender. But we surrender to him. We surrender ourselves, Lord, I'm yours. Use me as you will. So that I no longer live, but I'm going to let you live in me. And it tells us that elsewhere in the Bible too, right? He dwells within us. 1 Corinthians talks about our temple, our body being a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 John would talk about God in us. And that's what can happen then. If we're willing to put ourselves aside to create that vacancy, to create that room so that he can fill us and live through us. So that he can change us from the inside out. Once we've had that inside change, it's going to just move outward and it's going to spill onto those around us too. Changing from the inside. Changing from the outside in, yeah. It's sort of like someone going through treatment. If they've had a problem drinking or something like that, you put them in an environment where they try to change them from the outside in, okay? It works sometimes. But if someone has a change of heart, if they have a new life, that's going to be successful. That's what's going to do it. And they change from the inside out, and it's a beautiful thing because we have a life that is redeemed, a life that God can use, a life that's surrendered to him. A life that's going to be like Jesus. It's going to show concern for others. Let us be concerned for others. Let us have compassion for others, as Jesus did and still does. Let us be full of good works. Because faith is demonstrated through the works. And that's a result of that change inside once again. But the good works for others, not for our benefit, but for others. As a result, we can have joy. We can have fulfillment. We can have meaning and purpose when we can have life abundant. Life is good. Abundant life. Better yet. Amen.